Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is your boy, Pinhead198, back with another episode of the Shitbird Podcast. In this edition, we're going to mostly keep it wrestling, unfortunately, for those who hate that, but we're going to get into a full tilt. We're going to get a double episode because I'm recording one here on Friday. Yes, on Friday, the day I should be working, but fuck it, we're here. And then I'll record one on Saturday as well, reviewing, reviewing the Elimination Chamber, which we'll get into those predictions here on this episode. And I'll also review the Texas Chainsaw Massacre on Netflix. Boy, I can't wait for that one. I have not watched it yet. But I'm waiting for my grandmother's review because she loves this shit. She loves these fucking films. She got me into horror. I can't wait to see what she says about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And that will be a side part of the second episode. I'll give her review as well as mine. I will even write notes down to make sure I get her review verbatim and I'm not just making up shit. And then you'll get my review. But we're talking about this episode. We'll get into more on the next episode, and we're going to structure it. This one probably won't be so structured, because on this episode, we're going to talk via WrestleTalk. Once again, our boys at WrestleTalk, a lot of news has been going around, but we're going to go for WrestleTalk, because we want to give them the promotion. We want you, whoever is listening to this podcast still, please go watch these guys on YouTube. They are fantastic, like I said in the past, a few episodes back, if I'm not mistaken. They have far more knowledge. We had a conversation and sat down, at the very best, they have the same amount of knowledge as I do, maybe even more than I do on wrestling. Go check these guys out. But we got to talk about the event. This is a big day for a lot of us who don't like the roads. The Grot to the Roads is fine. The Empire, the Unholy Empire, the dog shit conundrum has now fallen to the wayside. The Empire of Impunity has finally fallen. Yes, the Wicked Witch of the West and his girlfriend, his wife, have finally fallen. Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes are finally leaving AEW. Don't know many details. We'll find out together. But, you know, I just know this is confirmed. It's at first, when I heard this earlier in the week, that's why I waited to do the episode. Because I was going to rush and run like the, you know, glad-handled, fucking happy, fucking grot ghouls that go out there and put it out there real quick. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to wait, and I'm glad I did. This is what we got so far, and we're going to get more, and I'm hoping they're WWE bound. I really hope they're WWE bound. Send them there, because, you know, WWE's already grot anyway, and we'll find that out even more tomorrow with Elimination Chamber in, you know, the Saudi prince's favorite part of the world. And then we're going to watch to clean the palate out of our mouths from what will be the review of Elimination Chamber, what we predict, and, you know, somewhat good news, but I still don't buy that him and his crow-nosed hoe of a wife are finally out. But let's find out right now. Let's start this one. I've rambled on enough. We're going to go into this. We're going to talk about the Elimination Chamber card, and then we're going to watch once again, because I've done this in the past, and some of you have enjoyed this. A lot of you enjoyed this. I like enjoying it, because, full disclosure, I watched all of AEW Dynamite except for this match that we will watch together through this audio commentary, and I passed out because, there was too much fucking talking on AEW Dynamite. You guys were trying to match Monday Night Raw in the talking factor, and you guys don't last that long. You're only 2 hours compared to WWE's three. Stop the shit. Cut it the fuck out. But that's a rant for another day. The point is, I got through most of AEW. There was very many highs, there was very many lows, and we can get into that briefly down the line. But by the time we got to the Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara match, I just passed out. And I don't know what happened, so we're going to find out together. But let's get on with this show. I've been rambling and rambling and rambling, partly because I'm starting to get a little tipsy, and I'm going to drink with you here. Let's crack it open. Right now, and I just fucked the shit up. See? On the spot bullshit. So, let's do it. And this will be Wrestle Talk, talking about not only the departure of Brandi and Cody Rhodes, but let's find out what they say, because a lot of y'all get mad at me. I don't really know anybody on here that talks, but I'm talking about in the wrestling community that maybe a lot of y'all get mad at me when I trash Brandi and Cody Rhodes, and especially Brandi, because you think she's some great savior. You know, she's the next Black Messiah. Okay, we're going to find out if that's so true, you know. We'll crack that bottle open. Let's find out. Let's find out if I'm a misogynist, racist, you know. Even though my dad's a black man, but I hate black people. But let's find out. Let's find out. And this isn't just via Wrestle Talk on their YouTube. This is the information they've been getting from insiders. And it's not just, I got a sort. They have pretty good insiders, considering 93% of the time when they talk about insiders, it's 100% correct. It's a lot of the reason why I get mad at them when they spoil shit and it pisses me off, because it does come true quite a bit of the time, and I know it will. So that's the double-edged sword of Wrestle Talk. I love you guys, but I wish you would tone back the fucking spoilers, even if it's speculation. You know, this is speculation, so let's, because we can't be sure that this is true, that a lot of women back here and people don't like Brandi, but, you know, she's a hero. Let's find out. 3, 2, 1, enough.
I think it's absolutely gobbled up by one specific news story, this time the shocking departure of Cody Rhodes from AEW, the Revolution.
And that ain't no lie. Before we really get into this video, and like I said, please support my boys over there, and ladies as well, as we're working up at Wrestle Talk. They know their shit, and that is true. This week has been gobbled up by nothing as far as wrestling news, in and behind the scenes of wrestling, but with Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes leaving AEW, because they are two parts of the three factions, well, four technically, because at the end of the day, nothing would have happened without Tony and his daddy, so that may be five. But as far as wrestling personalities, regardless of if we like them or not, three people pushed this company and actually founded it and made it to become a household name, and two of them are leaving out the door. Do you know what the third one is? He's a complacent rock star who has, you know, he's well past his expiration date, and that's a very good hint for you. He might be out the door next. Who knows? Even with his, you know, rock band. But let's get into the real meat and potatoes. That's why but the point of the matter is, sorry for fucking it up, you know, I'm a little... The point of the matter, this is why the wrestling news has been bogged down mostly by the departure of these two, because, not for nothing, they were part of founding this company and pushing it. Regardless of how I feel about the two, them and their other, the other one of the, they, those three people, well, let's not be foolish. Two people, because Brandi, you didn't do shit. You were fucking the man who's sucking off the boss. That's not talent. But so we'll just go with two. I'm sorry. That's how she gets you until you actually meet her. Because I've actually met this grotesque bitch at a convention once. And that's why I know I can speak on it. Because she is a hateful hoe. and there's no nice way of putting it. She's a hateful hoe, and so is her husband. He's a hateful hoe, too. And you're not good enough, you're not even, let alone being close to your daddy, you're not even good enough to be in the top 10 of American wrestlers, let alone outside of the states here today to have that kind of ego. So, go fuck yourselves. Here we go. It's coming out. Let's go.
He started and televised and seemingly grew bored of when it wasn't about him anymore. Both Cody and his wife Brandi Rhodes have decided to leave the company they had a hand in starting, with a possible defection to WWE on the cards for Cody. It's like nobody knew the door to WWE also opened inwards. It's like, I mean, we can go in. And just people don't just come out. As the pair's departure dominates the headlines, there has been more and more information leaking about how well liked the Rhodeses were in AEW and all of the backstage drama that seemingly led up to them leaving.
Here it comes.
That has gone back and forth a few times is the reports that many in AEW are celebrating Brandi Rhodes' departure.
Wade Keller of Pro Wrestling. I love it. I'm sorry. If that's even 30% true, that's still laugh out loud fucking good riddance, bitch. I love it. And I believe it too, because she is a grotesque, hateful, snobbish hoe. Fuck her. Now that I think about it, I hope they both don't. I hope Vince has enough brains in his head to at least one of two things. Either not give them both jobs, or hire them back 100%. Build them up to the top, make them these fucking indie darlings on the mainstream, put them in NXT, bring them up to the main roster just to put him and his wife both back into his fucking Stardust gimmick. That would be beautiful karmic justice for two rotten, hateful pieces of dog shit. Human garbage. Let's continue.
Torchu said that it sounds mean, but nobody has anything nice to say about Brandi Rhodes and her disposition or popularity behind the scenes.
Oh, what a shock.
She described her as not an asset to the company, either on screen, in the locker room, or backstage, and essentially baggage to Cody, who was said to be universally liked. Which then prompted a few people to come out and express their support for Rhodes, including Nyla Rose, Aubrey Edwards, and Red Velvet. But now,
yeah, her buddies.
Wrestling Observer's Brian Alvarez has doubled down on Keller's initial info, saying there aren't a lot of people who are universally hated. Yes, some people have spoken up in support of Brandi, but I can tell you
her butt buddies.
That I have heard way more people celebrating her departure in the last few days than upset about it, which leaves her in a very interesting...
The majority outweighs the few. That's what they're trying to say. You know, she does have friends. Let's not be daft here. And I can call all of you out because I know who you're. Jade Cargill, I love you, girl. But that's your butt buddy. You were weeping on Instagram and TikTok, or excuse me, Twitter. I can't keep up with you kids. So we know you're one of them. Nyla Rose, another mediocre idiot, just like Brandi. So that makes a lot of sense. You know, a fellow female who's a mediocre piece of dog shit. Like, really? And what's your third friend? My girl Red Velvet, you know, Red Velvet ain't all that. Sure, Big Swole's a big fan of yours too, and so is Leo Rush, right? All the bums will be your friends that left out this within the same timeline as you did. Very close. And all you will still cry, KKK, I bet. Although for Brandi, it's going to be a little bit harder, considering she married into the KKK. But that's a discussion for another day, all right? Allegedly. Because we like to do that, right? Allegedly. Because if we're going to be fair and you're saying all white guys who aren't white are in the KKK, then that means your husband's in the KKK, right? Right? Yeah, as my boy L.A. Knight would say, let's continue.
Interesting position, as Sports Illustrated were reporting that she wasn't expected to make the jump to WWE, as it is supposed Cody will do. So now,
please go to WWE.
She plans to continue pursuing an in-ring wrestling career.
Oh, please go to WWE, please.
At the Nightmare Factory this week. And her YouTube show, Shot of Brandi, is currently being pitched around, with Rhodes retaining the rights to it. Speaking of shows starring the High Roads...
And then they go into, you know, and this is where we get into shenanigans, because the follow-up is Cody AEW return still possible, and that's probably, you know, semi-clickbait, but you can find out for yourself, because like I said, WrestleTalk is amazing. Check them out. Love these guys. They're fantastic. And, you know, you heard it from the horse's mouth, and that's not just from them. This is circulating in the last, you know, 24 to 48 hours, that she ain't the most liked C word. I'm trying to be nice. I really am. People think I ain't, especially after that rant, but she ain't the nicest bunt on planet Earth, you know. Bunt the bitch out, and that's what you did, because she is a bunt, and you should have given her Das Boot bunt out the door, so there you go. You got a base hit, baby, because you got bunted down the line field. I'm most happy about you going, because you're a nasty ass. Let's move on. Let's go to Elimination Chamber predictions, and we're going to spend a small amount of time on this, because we got to get to some good wrestling that we can maybe both enjoy. Maybe all of our viewers, our listeners, even the ones that hate wrestling, maybe this might be the one that bring you over, because I get to watch two of my favorites, Sammy Guevara and Darby Allin. We'll watch it together. But first things first, we got to eat the manja, suck the grot down of WWE. So here we go. Tomorrow night, as of tonight, it's 7 p.m. West Coast time in Reno, Nevada. We're here in Reno at 7 o'clock, and soon SmackDown should be coming on. We're not going to talk about that. The next episode will review what the aftermath is of Elimination Chamber and what we'll predict, honestly, what will happen. Complacency until we go into WrestleMania. And then we'll talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'll get into that, and I'll really get into more detail I'll be talking about. And maybe there might even possibly be, if, depending on the next episode and the hits we get, or this episode, there could even be possible an audio commentary of me playing Resident Evil 7, just so you can really hear me rage. Maybe that's a bonus thing. Who knows? Free of charge. Because that's how I roll. I don't give a fuck about it. But let's get into, God, the preview for the Elimination Chamber 2022. God. This comes from us. I just picked the first one that I legitimately know. Sorry, guys. Sports Insider, or whatever the fuck their name is. They're a fuckbuck company. Who knows? You can look them up. They do everything. But I see them all the time, and this is just basic. I mean, if you fuck this up, then you should be shot in the head. Sorry. The road to WrestleMania makes a stop in Saudi Arabia as Elimination Chamber takes place Saturday. Yes, we're going to Prince Saudi and the Saudi Arabian government and their show. We all know how that turns out. For those of us that are in the initiated. Anyway, let's get on with it. Sorry. Mea culpa. For the first time since WWE's partnership with Saudi Arabia began in 2018, the country will host one of WWE's traditional annual pay-per-views instead of pay-per-view event with its own specialized branding. And that's one thing I will agree on that I noticed. I was like, oh shit, now they're not fucking around, because now this is one step closer to having maybe a Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia, or dare I say, WrestleMania 40, Saudi Arabia. So this is the step in the direction that we have been seeing since the Saudi prince dropped the bag on Vince McMahon and the company. So that's, and here we go further, that such a significant show is being held in Saudi Arabia is a sign that no matter How morally repugnant? You ain't lying, but let's move on. WWE's deal with the... And that's being nice. Anyway, WWE's deal with the Saudi government is the ties between the two sides are only getting stronger, and that is a little scary. And we can talk about those implications somewhere down the road, because that goes into politics. And anyway, let's continue. At an estimated $50 million per event. Ooh, now I know why you did it, Vince. Oof. Don't respect it, but I understand it. Woo! $50 million per event. And that makes you understand that this NBC and Fox money that he got on the side ain't fucking nothing but side bitch money, because we're talking about Saudi prince money. $50 million per event. WWE's long-term contract with the Saudi... I'm sorry, guys. I feel like I need to take a shower when I'm reading this, and I because it's how I feel when I watch, knowing the deal. It's how I feel about watching a lot of WWE, but especially after tomorrow, I'm gonna have to take a cold shower, because every time I watch one of these events, even the parts that I might enjoy, it still makes me feel filthy. But I'm sorry, because I just. Let's keep going. I'm sorry. That's the one that it's like certain things with kids and this kind of thing, because it all goes in the same bracket. It just makes me feel uncomfortable and dirty, especially when I know that I'm willfully supporting this shit. But, you know, I'm proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm free. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go on. WWE's long-term contract, but that was too much. Sorry, guys. With the Saudi, we'll make up for it in the next match. All right. WWE's long-term contract with the Saudi government's entertainment authority is one of the company's most lucrative revenue streams. In return, WWE is boosting the image of regime with a long history of human rights abuse. Stating it very, very mildly, but let's continue. That's why I don't... Let's get past this. Okay, what started as a glorified house show has continued... Okay, so this is the writers, and I understand, writer, I'm with you, because this is the one time where agenda and politics... We'll move on. Let's get to the card so we can watch the match, because now we're getting into what we can do next time. Anyway, at a later date. Saturday's main card kicks off on The Cock, or Peacock for those of you that's not initiated, / WWE Network. So don't do that. It's not / WWE Network. It's the network is dead, so... You get points extremely deducted for that, because after all this diatribe, from what I can see, I can tell you did your research on the agenda points, which is great. You should have done it on the... So now I know where we're at, and then that even further proves I'm glad I skipped the rest of that, because it's not Peacock / the WWE. It's just Peacock. That's why we call it, around our parts, The Cock. Because the cock has taken over and fucked it in. It's not the WWE Network. But that's just a small nitpick of mine. I'm sorry. It's a very big pet peeve. Let me take a drink to calm down. But it's not the WWE Network anymore whatsoever. And anyone who has a subscription to the cock like I do and has watched vast amounts of WWE content on Peacock since moving from the WWE Network, which I also had, starting in its infancy with my brother. So I know the difference, because the WWE Network was one of the very few early adopter things I've ever done in my entire life. So I know what I'm fucking talking about when it comes to the transition from the network to the cock. It's not the WWE Network. Sorry for the long rant. Let me take a drink. We will go into the match card very fast and get into this great match, which I hope is a great match. It could... God, is this going to be my unlucky night? Because that could be a shit match. That's very possible. God, I didn't think about that. Ugh. Anyway, get out of my head. Let's move. So the Saturday night's main card kicks off on Peacock at 12. For those of us on, you know, we're on the West Coast, but it doesn't matter. We're gonna get the 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so be there at 12 on your clock. Cause they don't tell you. It should be 3, whatever. Maybe I'm fucking my own head up, but... Anyway, Elimination Chamber match for the WWE Championship. Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins versus Austin Theory versus Riddle versus AJ Styles. So this can go one of two ways. Brock Lesnar will win, and it will be a double title match against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Make no fucking mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen. Roman Reigns and fucking Brock Lesnar will be facing each other for a title at WrestleMania and probably night two, the main event. If you guys have any brains. Because no one wants to watch it on Saturday unless you bring in the big thing. Do not do the stupid shit where you blow your load and you bring in Roman Reigns. Save it for Sunday so people that don't care we got to go on Sunday. At the very least, watch the... Are we getting it? This is easy mathematics. We have to watch the Roman Reigns-Brock Lesnar match. We have to watch Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch. Put those on Sunday. So, are we really going to be daft here? Roman Reigns versus Goldberg for the Universal Championship. They dug old man Goldberg once again, and it's always when it's a major title win. And this is going to kind of sound contradictory, but bear with me. Every time we go to the Saudi government and there should be a major win, excluding the Brock Lesnar incident. Or excuse me, I'm fucking up. Anytime the Saudi government wants a major pop and they're a possibility of the current champion losing their title, you bring Goldberg in. Now, this is where we get into a little bit of a gray area, because what's going to be more important? The bottom line of the Saudi government and saying, you know, Goldberg wins on that night, which is a very high probability, and a lot of you, no, it's not. Yes, it is, because the Saudi prince loves Goldberg just like he loves Hulk Hogan. He sways a lot of what happens on these shows. It doesn't, and then it's up to the WWE management to play pickup. That's why you find a lot of the things that happen that you go, oh, well, why did this happen, and they clean up? It's because of that. And we can get into further in depth, because we're going to cut into the match time, and I'm not going to do that. We can get into a real in depth if it's necessary reasoning behind that and actual, you know, points of where that is. But Roman Reigns has to retain the title. Like, it's not believable that he's, you know, I stacked Cena, I stacked AJ, I stacked Brock. Like, you can't stack him and bash him if a 43-year-old man's going to come through and snap you out. So, because they had this problem with Bobby Lashley at the last event, that Bobby Lashley defended his title against Goldberg. He squashed the fucking shit out of Goldberg, and like a Thanos snap, Goldberg, bah, and destroyed Bobby Lashley and won the fucking match. Goldberg has to go. I love Goldberg, especially if my nostalgia pops out from my childhood growing up watching him truly stacking people, regardless of if the record was real, 139 or 100, 205, 200 and 0, like, it doesn't matter. It was the ideal. It was the storytelling behind it. Goldberg's well past that, and I understand you keep saying this. You want it for your son who didn't get this. I get it. At the very least, let Goldberg fucking demolish Roman Reigns and destroy him to save face for Goldberg, to still let him be that uber beast for a future match, whether it be championship or not, against someone else. Let him fucking hurt Roman Reigns, and then let some shenanigans happen, or Roman Reigns, even better, let Roman Reigns pull it out of his ass and do something and just hit that fucking ultra, that brutality in Mortal Kombat where you thought you got your fucking enemy on the ropes and then he just kills you and then Goldberg loses. Do that, because it bolsters both individuals. It makes fucking Roman look like he can't be stopped even by Brock, and it makes Goldberg look like the man who defeated Brock with ease, almost only second to Goldberg, look like he can still go at anybody if he gets a second chance. It's pretty basic, folks. Let's move on. Wow. Maybe I just made a better match than what we'll see tomorrow. Who knows, but Raw Women's Championship match, Becky Lynch versus Lita. Once again, this is... okay, so I'm going with Lita, and there's a reason why. I'm going with Lita. However, Becky Lynch should be the one that wins. The only reason why I'm afraid of Becky Lynch winning is because we'll get a triple threat match for Ronda Rousey, and I do not want that. However, I'm taking that back. Fuck Lita. Sorry, Lita. So that just my inner fanboy came out there, and actually listening to her promo, which was impassionate. Becky Lynch is winning because we need this shit settled with. It needs to be Ronda Rousey. Honestly, if you guys were smart, Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch for the title, night 2, main event. That's why I say Lita's losing. So let's move on, because we spent too much time. We need to get into Rhea Ripley, Alexa Bliss is winning that match. Let's move on. SmackDown Tag Team title match. The Viking Raiders, Usos are winning that match. And you can just put me on record. False count anywhere. Drew McIntyre versus Madcap. Drew McIntyre's winning that match. We need to build him back up. Rey Mysterio versus The Miz. WWE stupid. The Miz is going to win that match. Not to knock The Miz, who I actually, not even secret guilty pleasure, I actually like The Miz. But, you know, at this point, Rey Mysterio is here for cannon fodder. That way that he can continue to, like, let his son get more performance time and better bear. Rey Mysterio is a legend. He doesn't need this shit. His son does. So that's why he continues to agree to be cannon fodder behind the scenes for these matches. The Miz will win. So let me go over these real fast, and then we'll go and cleanse our palate real, real quick. I'm sorry, fellas and ladies. Let's go over my official predictions on record, and we can find if I'm wrong or right. Elimination Chamber for WWE Championship. Bobby Lashley versus Braun. I'm going with Bobby Lashley retaining the title. Roman Reigns versus Goldberg. Roman Reigns is winning. There's no doubt. Becky Lynch is winning over Lita. Ronda Rousey and Naomi are beating Charlotte Flair and Sonya Deville. Make no mistake about that. Because it bolsters both of those characters, so that's happening. Alexa Bliss is winning that. The Women's Elimination Chamber. The Usos are obviously going to retain their titles. Like, come on. Against the Viking Raiders, especially in the... Let's not be stupid here. Drew McIntyre's winning. And like I said, The Miz is going to take Mysterio. So there you go. Let's move on. And I'm sorry I'm being so quick about it, but we have a limited time here, and I am not gonna miss this with you guys. Let's watch this match together, and then we'll clean this up and wrap it up. Sammy Guevara versus Darby Allin for, if I'm not mistaken, the TNT Championship. We'll find out right now together. Could be wrong. And I'm pretty sure this is for the championship. And if it is, this... So real quick to interrupt, this is what I'm talking about. This is how you do it. You let the challenger, as I've ranted about before in a previous episode, you let the challenger come out before the champion. Great work, AEW. Simple, but great. Let's go. I love you, Sammy. I really do. Part of me hopes Darby Allin's going to win. I know he's not going to because the momentum Sammy's on, but God, I hope. Although there is the side factor where you're probably almost guaranteed to save face for both of them, pull some bullshit shenanigans. All I'm asking is, please, can this matching end the match? I don't care what you do afterwards. Can the match end? God, I'm getting a new act. Can the match end clean? Without my accent. Can the match end clean? Can the match end clean? That's all I ask. End this match clean. Please. Then do the shenanigans afterward. I don't care if you're raping, murder, like beat the shit out of him. Like I do, but like after the match, let's let this guy's fucking show their talent from beginning to end. Because all you got, AEW, Impact, WWE, you all have a problem with ending great matches clean. Stop this. The Spanish God, Sammy Guevara. And he does look good. If I was I'd try and take a few taps out of him. Hell, Darby Allin for that matter, too. Turn it down a little bit, because we don't want, you know, we're an underground unknown, but, you know, it's in that case that Tony wants to get really... petty. We'll just leave it there. Those beautiful, beautiful TNT championships. And they are beautiful for fucking mid-card championships, and that's what they are. Let's not pretend. The TNT Championship is like the Intercontinental title or the European Championship back in the day. Like, they're mid-card championships, but in the right hands, they can build absolute superstars in the future. So, this is why these matches are important in every company. It cultivates wrestling, it cultivates the younger stars, and it gives us hope that there will be wrestling for the younger generation. Fuck us old farts, but for the younger generation in the future. As the old saying goes. Those that refuse to learn from history are doomed to repeat its past. History, like, why are we getting on the accent? Here we go. Now we're getting into the good shit. And it's not like one guy is bigger. And this is what I love about this. We'll see, I guarantee you, without seeing this match, we'll see a lot of high-flying, sometimes technical, but mostly high-flying, guaranteed most of the time, reckless bullshit. But we'll see a lot of high-flying, fast-paced wrestling here because these guys are similar in weight. Excuse me. Excuse me again. Whew. I'm in rare form. Nice side headlock. It wasn't really a counter, but okay. And I'm sure we'll see a lot of false finishes here. Guarantee it. Regardless of the outcome. Nice. And this is the boring part of the match, especially for the uninitiated who happen to watch this with me. It's the filling out period, you know. Even the high flyer, low skinny motherfuckers have it too. I would argue that's what makes their matches that much more exciting than the regular, you know, honking beast, because they're filling out period like that. That little Brandon Lee showdown, a little Tokyo double up kick. But anyway, that's that. I would argue that that makes it even better for them to do it than actual, like, technical wrestlers or big guys, because it makes you enjoy and appreciate the high flying that much more. Darby Allin got his back cracked on the turnbuckle, pushed out to the outside. If I'm not mistaken. Oh, no, excuse me. His abdomen. As I turned my eyes away. Excuse me, folks. And these guys, like both of them, especially Darby. Darby can sell that fucking pain that really makes you believe that he's really hurt. Which, as Robert De Niro would say in Heat, there's a flip side to that coin, because if he was actually hurt, they got to really check on him, because, like, are you hurt this time or you faking it? Because contrary to the popular belief for some fuckwits out here, pro wrestlers do get hurt, and they get hurt bad. It's called the law of physics. Darby Allin out on the ground. It's really selling that hurt. And I buy it, you know. Even as a cynical wrestling fan who knows the business, or as a cynical mark, I should say, because I'm still a mark. Although they like to say, if you haven't been in the ring in your life, you shouldn't speak. I've been in the ring, and it was not fun for me. I had my own division. I was in the ring, and I will concede that I'm not as great as you guys, but I understand what you do, and some of you guys ain't cutting it, sorry, but back to the great match. And that's how I know this shit takes athleticism. Cardio. Your cardio better be on point. And you better, you know, have the art of sell. Not a good actor, but, you know, you better know how to sell shit. Because if you can't sell, some could call professional wrestlers grifters, because that's what they were back in the Carney days. That's why we're called marks, because they used to fucking literally mark us. If you actually look into the professional wrestling history. So that's where the mark shit comes from. You can learn more about that from, you know, the anti-Semite Al Snow. And many others. No, but in seriousness, that is the truth, and you can learn. Just learn the history of the mark and why we're called marks. All of us that aren't in the wrestling business. Back to the action. Sammy jammed his knee. Another Freudian slip. God, I hope you guys can hear me drinking this bottle. I'm hoping you're drinking one with me. Or at least smoking some weed. Hey, maybe even taking some shrooms and some LSD. Who knows? Or for my Native American brothers out there, taking some peyote. Going on that spirit journey. Ooh, another violent whip to the turnbuckle. And, you know, usually violent whips don't mean shit. But with a guy this, like, Finn, that with Sammy Guevara, just slamming it, boom. Looks good. It makes me wonder, like, if Darby Allin loves back day in his local gym, because for a little guy, he, even after all the abuse, he uses his back as a fucking legitimate weapon. He uses his back as a weapon than most ECW nut jobs used chairs and barbed wire bats back in the 90s. Like, I just, and this is the type of stuff that makes me love wrestling. You know, we know, we get it. It's not real. Like, this is great storytelling. You pussies think that Robert Downey Jr. flies around in a tin bucket on his real life fucking time off. It ain't real either, but you'll accept that bullshit. Because it's good storytelling. And so far, this is not too bad. Not perfect, but it ain't WWE horrid, so... I'm enjoying this. Like, this is great. And it's further a testament. Please do not bring shenanigans toward the end, because this is coming to an end, ladies and gentlemen. Especially if you're watching this with me. Oof. Please don't do shenanigans. I'm begging you. Ooh. And that's one thing I do like about AEW Dynamite. Like, they really try their hardest to make the moves look as realistic and violent as possible without hurting their professionals. Meanwhile, you know, WWE either does one or the other. Like, there's no shades of gray with the WWE. They're either... it's boring as fuck, or they let their wrestlers do reckless, dumb shit that, like, they should know better than... Oh. Ooh, that was a nice catch. Nice catch. Into the figure four. I'm sure you'll call it something else, AEW, but it's a fucking glorified figure four. Thank you, JR. I keep forgetting Jim Ross. Good old Jim Ross is still there to correct all of us who don't know better. Figure four once again. And see, whoo, this is Matt Wrestling 101, you know, Matt Wrestling and Psychology 101, and then from two traditional, smaller, fast-paced high flyers, you know. I hate to call Darby Allin a high flyer because he's so unorthodox, but Sammy Guevara is obvious one of the greatest high flyers of all time. Like, in the modern era, he's like, he's a young Ray. And I hate to take away from him like that, but Sammy, like, if anyone could live up to the expectations of Rey Mysterio Jr. and maybe even surpass him even more than his son Dominic, I know WWE like to push it. It's going to be Sammy Guevara. He's amazing. He's a sexy beast. He's fast. Like, that cutter outside was pretty sloppy, but at the same time, it looked beautiful because he was doing it. Like, it wasn't too okay. Look in the back of the replay. Yeah, it was semi sloppy. It wasn't perfect, but it was solid. But the point still stands. Like, Sammy Guevara is, he's the future. He's one of the few kids that I can say that I will see if I'm alive in 10, 15 years will still be, as much as I hate to say it, he will be a main roster WWE guy if the company and wrestling as a whole has not sunk into the fucking sea by then. And see, like, just beautiful. And that's another thing, like they said, like, they are resilient. Not just in the storyline, but their cardio. Like, these guys are going and going. We're past the 15-minute point here. No breaks, no half times. These guys are fucking beasts. Or we could be past the 15-minute point. I don't know. We're definitely 10 minutes in at least. I'm not a timekeeper. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. I love it. See? That's what I'm talking about. Shenanigans. And I always love seeing Sting, but come on. And like I said, we can't end this clean. God. Alright, I'm already done. Like, that's the shit that makes me not care. Like, you guys don't get it. Sammy Guevara, God. Okay, I'm done. I don't even care about the side story. See, this is what I'm talking about, and this is what pisses me off. And now we're having an on-air anger issue right here. This is one of the quintessential Gambini in My Cousin Vinny. This is the quintessential reason why I hate fucking modern wrestling. You have a great match there. Let it die and let it finish. And then do the fucking shenanigans after. Like, you can... I don't want to hear it. I don't want to fucking hear it. I don't... Well, they're setting up matches for potential rivalries in a future episode. Especially for Revolution. I don't give a fuck. Live in the here and now. You guys do not get to do what WWE does. WWE sucks for a reason. They live inside their own complacency. You guys are trying to do that. God, I hate this shit. You guys are trying to live inside your own complacency and you haven't earned the right yet. Stop this. Stop wrestling. Stop this shit. Stop it. Bad wrestling. Bad wrestling. At any rate, I don't fucking care anymore. That was a great match until the end. Now I'm pissed. And now I'm going to go get fucking blackout drunk, hopefully. Maybe smoke a couple of tobacco cigarettes, let's say that. And move on. Sorry, guys, you had to sit through this with me. We'll have a far more structured... I'm sure we'll have far more rants in the next episode because we're going to talk about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm going to talk about my journey into Dark Souls. I'm going to do my review on overall Peacemaker, and we're going to review Elimination Chamber. God, is that going to be a beautiful grot-filled episode. But for those of you guys that like to listen to me act like a bitch and rant and rave, that should be glorious for you. So thank you, folks. The time is coming near. God, that match fucking sucks now, so... yeah, hooray for that. Talk to you guys tomorrow night. After the end of the Grot Elimination Chamber, starring Fuck Buck and his band of many buddies. I love you guys. Thank you for staying with me and being held hostage by this ranting and raving loser lunatic. Hope you guys are doing well out there. Hope you guys are beating ass, taking names, sucking dick, and eating good pussy. Peace.